This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. For those not in the know, the film Sinners, directed by Ryan Coogler and starring Michael B. Jordan, was by many measures the blockbuster hit of 2025. The film won critical acclaim and numerous awards and has enraptured film lovers since its release. The story is set in Clarksdale, Mississippi during the Jim Crow era in 1932. Identical twins, Stapp and Smoke, have moved back to their hometown from a brief stint in Chicago. They return to open up a juke joint to earn some quick cash. The pair connect with old friends, lovers, and their little cousin Sammy to pull the party off. But they're met with adversity in the form of real-life racism and the supernatural, that is, vampires. Now, beyond its being a unique horror movie, Sinners presents audiences with the diverse history and cultures of the Delta South, which included Black Americans, Chinese and Irish immigrants, Indigenous Americans, and the Ku Klux Klan. It also offers rich fodder for interpretation. This weekend, the Foodies Eat First Fest, which takes place at the Post Building in downtown St. Louis, will feature an interactive experience built around Sinners, and people are excited. Among those folks are Braden Tawaldi, originator and host of Foodies Eat First Fest. He joins us now. Braden, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here on the podcast with you.
We also have Liz Schuster. Liz is the owner and executive chef of Tenacious Eats, which marries cinema and television with the culinary. Liz, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me, Elaine.
So, Braden, before we get to Sinners, tell us very quickly about what Foodies Eat First Fest is.
Yeah, that's a lot to say if you say it really, really fast.
Right.
I trip up on it sometimes when I get excited talking about it because I'm very passionate when I talk about it. So for myself, I started out during COVID creating social media content, helping mom and pops, connected with lots of different people all over St. Louis. And it's, you know, I knew at that time it's the local restaurants that are going to get us through these times. And that's what makes our city special. And so when I decided to launch a food festival, I mean, I would go to festivals around the country. I would get to try so many different foods at a food festival rather than committing to just one. And so the more and more I traveled, I experienced things. And I'm like, we could throw that here in St. Louis, really creating something that is so intentional. I tell the chefs, like, hey, let them cook, you know, flex your muscles. But Foodies Eat First Fest is the ultimate foodie experience. You get to actually talk to the chefs that are making these dishes, ask the questions, or just tell them, thank you for, you know, this is where I got engaged. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the meal you had after maybe you lost a family member. Like, we're so intentional about it. But, you know, we've created this ultimate lineup where, you know, you pay to come in. It's right around $20 to $25. But then, I mean, we got to, we'll get into the Sinners experience, but we have a cheese wheel. Do you understand that this is over a $200 experience when you go to any restaurant and we're including that? But our goal is to make, you know, we're very intentional. Most of the food's between $4 to $8, VIP. You get to try something for everything. And we also have New York's, you know, America's most iconic deli, Katz's, come in here. So it's the ultimate foodie experience when every little detail's been thought of.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at your shirt, Braden. Yes. It's Foodies Eat First, for foodies, by foodies.
Yes.
That's a lot of Fs.
Fs, yes.
You give a lot of Fs. And there's another F with Sinners. We're talking about film. So what was the origin of incorporating film into all of this?
Yeah. So I'll kind of start and then let Liz just dive on in. But it was like I've known about what Tenacious Eats was and what they've been doing for years. We have a concept we haven't even done yet, but it's kind of in line with Sinners, but we've been trying to figure out ways, to work together. And it was early on in the year, like I didn't even know it was possible to get the rights to this film. I've had the opportunity to meet Ryan Coogler before, very casually, been figuring out how I can connect with them. This may be the opportunity is through this festival, but we've talked about it in the past, and then I was like, you know what, for my festival in May, which we called it Foodie Z First 2.1, mm-hmm. moving forward, this is the third weekend of August, right? We'll just do it once a year. But I wanted to fine tune things. We worked with the Muni to do Meet Me in St. Louis, which came here this year. And so it was just like, when she said we could get the rights to Sinners, I was like asking so many questions. Like, are you sure? Can this be part of the festival? Can we make dishes? And what can exactly, like, we want to be respectful to the artists, pay for the licensing, things like that. So when she said it was possible, every time she comes to me, I'm like, let's do it. I did have to think, because, you know, on the shirt, I do have a, on the back of the shirt, I have a little mascot. We have Flippy, because mm-hmm. we do have a kid zone that's going to be outside. But
okay.
there are a few things, maybe like one or two things I was like, let's curtain this off, you know? Okay. But she's an absolute talent and excited to have her on board.
Now, before we get to the lineup, tell me about, Liz, what it is with this film that excited you so much and made it feel like it was a good fit for the Foodies Eat First Fest.
Immediately, we were talking about the history, the rich food history, the culture, the music culture. To me, it's very reminiscent of where we are now, mm-hmm. also in our own city. And we were pivoting because we did a showing of Meet Me in St. Louis, and I made what I thought a hot dog, which was made famous during the 1904 World's Fair, portrayed in the movie. There are no hot dogs in the movie, by the way. A lot of people pointed that out to me, but I decided I should do food from that original fair. And we did ice cream, but I kept wanting it to be representative of our food culture now in our city, because I thought, oh, hot dog and ice cream is really not where we're at. Everybody loves ice cream, everybody loves hot dogs, but we need to put our St. Louis spin on it currently. So that's how we got to Sinners.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this lineup. It's pretty spectacular, if I say so myself. Simone Farr of La Pâtisserie Choquette is among the chefs who are part of this weekend Sinners Inspired Experience at Foodies Eat First Fest. And producer Maya Norfleet had a chance to speak with Simone about the film and what she'll be bringing this weekend.
I've seen the film 8 times, I will say this. 8 times so far. And I knew that while the story is fictional, the lived experiences in those stories are very much so real. And so I wanted to approach my portion of the menu as sort of a marriage between the film and my family's lived experience between Louisiana and Mississippi. It needed to feel like something that my grandmother would put on the table for breakfast or lunch or dinner. I think I approached it just with a need to be as clear-cut, as real as my actual life felt growing up.
Simone Farr also said that what she saw as a child visiting her grandparents in Mississippi, combined with the history of who made their home in that area and specific film elements, guided her menu choices.
I really wanted to pull a little bit of inspiration from Beau and Grace, because of the significance of Chinese immigrants in that area at that time. And I remember grits when I was a kid being bought in big sacks in Mississippi. When I would go to my grandparents' house, they had these ground grits that you would get from a local grocery store, which, you know, was Chinese owned. And so that was an easy choice to put that on the menu. But the fried garlic, like just like adding that in because of the vampire aspect and because of the garlic scene was important. But at the same time, I didn't want it to be gimmicky. So I didn't want you to go, oh, yep, that's what that is. And so just like the movie, with my menu, I wanted people to think and sit with it and go, oh, I got it.
So Simone, as you hear Simone, as we're listening to her, Liz, you are nodding, and so are you, Braden. Yeah. Why?
I'm just inspired, you know? Like, it goes back to just every detail matters, and, you know, just being able to trust the chefs and just, hey, run with it. Don't, like she said, don't do anything just gimmicky. Like, mm-hmm. being able to pull that, it's just so, I don't, like there are better words, it's cool and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the film, I've heard so many people comment that they were hesitant to watch the film because they thought it was strictly a horror film, mm-hmm. that it was too much. But yeah, there is such rich story about connectivity and community and environment. And I felt like when I started to approach chefs to take part in this, I knew already what chefs that I looked up to, that I adored, and I knew they already had deep, rich history and story. Just, I mean, I didn't know Simone before this. I was just a huge fan of hers. And I knew what she was trying to say through her food before I even met her. As an example, when we had a meeting, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. This is what really inspired me even more was Simone shared that these characters meant so much to her because she said, and I'm paraphrasing, I was raised by Annies, selfless women who gave everything of themselves to protect their family, their loved ones, their community. So for me, it was a no-brainer about, you know, we can't make this scary either. This is about a food experience, immersion experience into the not only the film, but the music, the dancing. We have other artists that are participating. So I think we skipped over the horror part.
Oh, yeah. We're talking today with Liz Schuster, who's the owner and executive chef of Tenacious Eats, and Braden Tawaldi, who's the Foodies Eat First Fest originator and host. We're discussing the Sinners-focused experience that people coming to the festival this weekend are going to get to be treated to. Now, Travis Parfait of the Sister Cities Cajun Restaurant is another STL chef participating this weekend, and his contributions reflect where he's from, Duloc, Louisiana, which is close to New Orleans, and the history of colonialism and migration along the Mississippi Delta.
Jambalaya started as I think it was Haitian Creole interpretation of paella, because the Spanish occupied the territory before the French, and New Orleans being a port city, they had a lot of Caribbean, a lot of escapees from colonialism. It was a very oddly populated place, you could say. And so the dishes that I picked, I wanted to make sure they had a story behind them. You know, Hoppin' John, the story behind that nickname is it comes from the French pois pigeon, which refers to pigeon peas, the staple in Caribbean cooking in rice and peas. There's a lot of symbolism in the movie, and it just plays into my culture, my cuisine, everything that we try to represent here at Sister Cities.
Travis Parfait added a note about another connection between where he grew up and what's home to him now, and what he aspires to share through his cooking, no matter the occasion.
We called our place Sister Cities because New Orleans and St. Louis were both capitals at different times of Louisiana territory. My father's side of the family is Houma Indian, Native American. We draw very strongly from that. I like to juxtapose Creole and Cajun cuisine. I'm from a very rural part of the South. So I enjoy showing the food that might be on my ma's table versus the food that might be in a restaurant when you go to visit New Orleans.
So you all listening cannot see what I'm seeing here. Braden, some of this was new to you.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's inspiring to me because, you know, my thought is like when I envision this, you know, I knew it'd be good working with Tenacious or Liz of Tenacious Eats and those experiences, but it's just like, it's so inspiring to me. And it's like, I mean, I got to take in what we got going on this weekend, but it's making me think of even more because these are the stories, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you don't often get to hear, you know, people may think, oh, it's Mardi Gras. I'm only going to go there during that time. No, go to these places year round because they're sharing their heritage, their culture, and delicious food. Like, it's so cool.
And the chefs have been talking with each other, is that right?
Oh, yes. In fact, I look forward to each meeting because we're sharing stories, not just what we're going to make, what's on our menus individually, but our personal stories, how we're connected to the characters, what we're trying to convey to our guests. And that's going to be so exciting because we get to talk to people and talk about where the food comes from, how we were inspired as a chef, most of the time we can't come and talk to every diner and say, this is exactly what I meant when I created this dish, or, you know, what did you think? And also to get that immediate feedback from guests. This is so exciting. Mm-hmm.
Liz, you mentioned the conversation you had with Simone Farr and Annie's. So there is another piece to this sinner's activation that doesn't pertain to what people will be eating, but to what they'll be taking in, and that is spirituality. Jade Moore, a metaphysics practitioner who owns Sincerely the Craft in Midtown St. Louis, had this to say about sinners and its representation of hoodoo, which has a deeply significant place in Black American history, culture, and experience.
I love sinners because everyone could see themselves in the movie. And it created such an intersection between spirituality, culture, music, food, fashion, and the interconnectivity of it all. Seeing people become curious about all of these things all at once was exciting, but the way that Mr. Kugler presented spirituality and the elements and how they weren't just treated as this strange thing happening outside of everyday life was unprecedented. It was exciting to see your grandmother's spirituality here, and it created curiosity and brought people into STC, but also was such a huge connectivity for me inside of the film, because it wasn't labeled as negative. It was something that hoodoo saved, hoodoo helped, hoodoo provided, and that was just very magical.
Now, to what extent were you already aware of this before you met with Jade?
I've worked with Jade on other projects, but I think we've even had conversations about this kind of spirituality and practice being present in so many other cultures. Mm-hmm. We've compared notes about things that we witnessed our grandmothers doing that maybe we didn't even realize were part of that practice, that kind of spirituality. And also the positivity behind those things that I think they've received a lot of negative stigma over the years. This is also a very matriarchal practice mm-hmm. that I don't think a lot of people realize the yeah. origins of.
Jade said that being part of the Foodies Eat First Fest is a chance to teach people what hoodoo is and to offer them something to take away from the festival and from the sinner's activation.
What Sincerely the Craft wants to bring is an opportunity to give the participants something to take home with them, not just a souvenir, but to create something that stands out from the movie. We're having a area where you can create your own mojo bag, and it's Annie's protection amulet. And within the movie, it was so appropriate. Herbs mattered. They were allies, and there was spiritual and medicinal nature to those. And through education, people can come and they can create their own mojo bag. We'll also have readings if mojo bags ain't your thing. And you could just come and meet the team. We'll all be dressed up in alignment with sinners. That's so exciting. We have a large team coming, and we're excited to come out into St. Louis. Sincerely, the Craft's mission is to not just be available for St. Louis, but to participate in St. Louis activities and to meet St. Louis where it is. So please come out and enjoy your time. So as you make your way through eating, come make you a mojo bag, get a reading, and then go back to eating though.
And just a note here that mojo bags are a big part of the movie's plot. They serve as a form of protection for the film's protagonists. This part about being involved with something that's happening in St. Louis, taking something away, what does that bring to mind for you, Braden, about the purpose of not only of the festival, but of like bringing people together and giving them something to leave with?
Yes, it helps me understand the importance of this event, and it's really motivating. So even while I'm listening to this, I'm smiling, nodding my head, but it's like, okay, I got to make sure everything's perfect. You know, people are going to make memories here. They're going to learn, and they're going to go on and support these local businesses. It's just so inspiring, and just like being part of people's memory, it just shows you though. Look, there are a few things in life that bring us all together. We all, no matter what, every day we got to eat. So it's just so cool. We can introduce people to her craft using food. And it's such a beautiful thing. And I'm honored that they believe in me. They're very busy folks,
yes.
Everyone. And they believe in me to be part of this. And I cannot wait for everyone to experience it.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned at the beginning a couple things people can expect. So
yes.
Katz's Deli coming here. Chef Travis Parfait mentioned something about not being able to go to New York. I've never been to New York, and I cannot go there at the drop of a hat for very many reasons. That aspect is interesting. But what are some of the other things, very briefly, that people
yes.
will see this weekend?
So you're going to see a lot of the top spots in town, the chefs, the viral dishes. So even like. We have Marcus with Waffle Boss. He makes these chicken stuffed waffles. We have Golden Goat Caviar, which is out of Miami. You may have seen him with F1 in Miami Open. They do the $100 caviar hot dogs. They're not doing it at my festival, but mm-hmm. we have, Australian Wagyu with caviar on it for $8. That's about a $60 bite.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to be able to go walk around, get a free cheese wheel experience in your ticket, but then all this other food's between $4 to $8. And it's truly the ultimate foodie event. And it's just exciting that, hey, this is year two. We're getting closer to selling out. And then, we're planning to continue to grow. We want this to be something that everybody in St. Louis can look forward to. We have over 2 million people in this metro, so why not invite them all to the table?
Mm-hmm. Is there any clue about what the next film activation will be?
No, it's been a conversation. There's been conversations.
Okay. We looked at each other like...
I know. Okay, there was a knowing look. We'll just have to wait. So how is it that people can get to tickets for this?
Yes, they can get their tickets at foodieseatfirst.com. That's FOODIES, eatfirst.com. Highly recommend getting your tickets as soon as possible. Like I said, this experience starts off around $20. Luckily, the weather looks pretty nice this weekend, but most of this takes place in air conditioning. So if you start sweating, we got you covered, because for foodies by foodies, we think of everything from clean bathrooms. You don't want to be sweating while you're trying to take a bite, and
yes.
that makes your food a little more salty, you know?
Braden Tewaldy is the founder of Foodies Eat First Fest, and Liz Schuster is owner and executive chef of Tenacious Eats. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw. And by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.